important. Next, we had eliminate one deputy director, and then close field offices, and then eliminate three full-time rehab or orientation counselors. So, you know, as it goes up the list from the least horrible to the most horrible, I mean, you know, it really, these are things that if our budget were cut to bare bones, you know, we'd be an entirely different looking agency, but they're on the list.
How does social security reimbursement fit into the, I mean, what are you counting for this year then?
To get social security reimbursement, clients who are recipients of social security benefits, which not all clients are, but for those clients who are, do you know what portion are? I think it's about 20%, isn't it, Carlos, of all clients?
I think more.
Okay, so it's a minority of our clients, but of those people, if they, when they get a job and that is above the substantial gainful activity level of income, then, and when they are in that job for a certain period of time, then Social Security Administration reimburses the commission for actual dollars spent on that person's rehab plan. And so we track all the expenses that we make, or that we, all the expenditures that we make on a person's behalf, and track all that, so then if they do then become self-supporting and go off of Social Security benefits, then we submit that, and if they approve it, we get the money back.
Right, but then how much money did, like, was that this year through the July?
I don't think we've had any new.
That's correct. There have been no reimbursements this year.
Either the people that are getting jobs are not on Social Security, or those who are not working at above the SGA level.
May I add to this here? Those who are not on Social Security, maybe they don't want to apply for Social Security, either for their pride or they are living with family members. The second factor is that SGA for blind people is higher than for other disabilities. I believe now it's $1,360 per month, okay? So our clients have to make at least that much money in order for them to be off Social Security benefits. But not only that, in addition to that, the incentive or the work incentive for blind people to claim some deductions are more than for other disabilities. So for instance, somebody can be making $2,000 per month and can still be under Social Security. And we have many of those people. I mentioned earlier that there are some folks who are making good money per hour, but they don't work full time because, again, they want to be on Social Security. Not because they want to take advantage of the system, but there are some benefits that otherwise they wouldn't have, like medical benefits or insurance. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Carlos. I think you could see we could talk about this all day, and it's at your, you know, whatever you think about how much further you want to go with it.
Yeah, for other disabilities, the SGA, I think, is only 700.
Texting or just scoop everyone's going to do it?
Okay, I did want to mention that last night we received a letter from the National Federation of the Blind, which I have forwarded to everyone. At this point, I'm not going to, unless somebody absolutely insists on it, I'm not going to read it here because we are, as you know from having heard the beep a little while ago, we're already behind time. You know, this is an important issue, and I do think that it's important for people to have received that. We have also been receiving input from staff, which we appreciate. We need to know what's happening from people's perspective. We've always talked about wanting to have a pulse of the agency, and we care what individual people think as well. And so that is a good thing. We have said all along that we don't intend to micromanage. We do, though, want to know what is going on, what the process is, and we're certainly willing to make suggestions or, you know, sometimes recommendations. You know, we have in the past recommended concerning the radio talking book system and that kind of thing. And we are available for brainstorming as well. And, you know, we want people to know that that is something that we're not saying, well, boy, you know, it sure is a tight thing, and hope everybody figures it out. you know, we're trying to brainstorm too, and to have real ideas to bring to the table. And you know, feel free to contact us or to have us be part of the ongoing thing. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're all writing our letters and things. We are consumers as blind folks ourselves. This stuff matters to us, and so we do need to try to all work with trust for each other and with understanding of everybody's level of expertise and commitment and that sort of thing to really make this thing happen. And you know, it is a difficult thing. I find it helpful to, along the way, know what is being talked about. I appreciated getting the February update and the comments after the staff meeting, all of those things, so that we know what is going on along the way. And there's no such thing as either a perfect system or a perfect human being, and so we're going to make mistakes. The biggest mistake of all that anybody can make is doing nothing, and we certainly haven't done that, not any of us. So there are going to be mistakes along the way, and you know, if we can work to try not to make the same one more than once, then we're probably doing better than most in the situation. Does anybody else have any other questions? Do you think there should be something different done as far as the priority list that we've seen here? Commissioners?
Well, even that priority list isn't carved in stone, is it? I mean, it was just something that the state budget office required, or...
Right. We tried to do it seriously, as if, you know, if we really had to implement this, we wouldn't be completely off base. But we do have flexibility in how we actually implement any cuts.
So has the reauthorization, has it passed the House and the Senate committee? Is that where we're at?
Correct. Now it goes to the floor, but you may know from, if you follow the news, the floor of the Senate.
That may not happen.
So when it actually goes past the floor, who knows, and then it goes to a conference committee comprised of House and Senate members.
Well, we thank all of you, and Bill, thank you too for coming up with, you know, different ways of explaining it, so that when one way is confusing to one or another of us, you know, you try again to get us into the understanding of how that thing works.
I appreciate that. It is. It's difficult for everybody. It's you know, it's not like hitting a moving target. It's like you're moving and the target is moving the other way, and you're trying to hit it. It's it is very fluid, and we'll certainly work on trying to do the best job we can with this.
Okay. At this point, in reality, it's 1:05. It's supposed to be 12:35. So
Everybody has to talk twice as fast.
So we're going to need, I think this is definitely a very crucial topic. You know, there are some things maybe we can shorten as we go along, or whatever, if we still want to get out of here by 3:15. Otherwise, you know, we may move things back a bit, but that's, it's up to all of us to see which we do. Next item is the website update. And again, we appreciate the statistics and the reporting we receive, and also the fact that that too is a fluid and ongoing thing. And we like getting the updates. I don't mind the tests that come on the NCBVI listserv. When that needs to be done, that just says to me, you know, somebody's noticed something and Jim's working on getting it fixed, and I appreciate that. Is there anything other than the report that we need to deal with, or does anybody, any commissioner have a question or anything about the website? Okay.
This is Sean. I have a quick question about the mailing list, considering that all of the staff's email addresses will be changing soon. Bill and I are working on that one. Jim, do you have control of the actual files for the listserv?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll Bill or I will send you a list of new addresses as they become implemented.
That's fine. Not all the staff is on the listserv, but yeah, if you want to forward that to me, that's fine.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I'd like to thank Jim for his continued work on this. He just keeps after it, and it's really does a good job.
Things are always changing.
Yeah.
Okay, is there a Friends of the Commission update? We have received the emails going about, we received the minutes. We also received the email talking about where the $5,000 donation has gone and that sort of thing. And we do appreciate that, and we continue to hope that Friends will find ways of bringing more money in.
I have a comment on Friends. Briefly, they're not complying with the articles of incorporation or with the bylaws. Not in the least. The bylaws calls for, they specify that the board, how the board's supposed to work. They specify that when the Friends, the initial board, a third of them would be for 1 year, a third would be for 2 years, and a third would be for 3 years. They've never held an election. Members on that were elected for a year, they're still on there. And they're supposed to have different committees for awards. They're supposed to have a nominating committee. They're supposed to have a fundraising committee. They don't have any of those. And I feel that if they don't buckle down and start complying with the bylaws and so forth, the Internal Revenue, they're going to review this in a couple of years, and if they don't operate according to the bylaws and so forth, they're going to be out. So they just have to, it's just a mess. All they have is a committee, actually. And so they're getting money and they're distributing it, and that's not the way the bylaws tell them to operate.
Have you mentioned your concern, Bill, to them?
I think I have to. I don't think it's something Pearl has to bother herself with. But I think we have to get them on the right track. We're supposed to have an annual meeting, which they don't have, to review reports and so forth. And they really don't have a board of directors at all. Mike's the president, and they have officers, but there's more to it than that. And I hate to see them, you know.
Who has possession of the bylaws?
I don't. In fact, I spent yesterday reviewing and studying.
I think all the members may have a copy. I think we have a copy too. It's possible the originals are housed at the commission district.
Yeah, I think you have the original.
But that doesn't mean we own it. I mean, it's we attend the meetings from time to time. We try to always have someone at their meetings, but we wouldn't.
You're an ex-official member of the non-existent board.
Okay. Okay, I don't know that that's ever really been discussed or brought to I think you're right, it shouldn't be.
But they're, yeah, they're just, they don't have any official form at all. And I think it has to be rectified pretty soon.
What do we, what does who, what does somebody need to do, and who needs to be the somebody? Are you that somebody, Bill?
I could be that somebody. I should sit in with them and explain what the situation is.
Yeah, why don't we, I mean, I'll nominate you from our commission. I think, you know, we have an interest. There's a lot they could be doing, and they need to...
It's just a matter of setting up the proper form, following the proper form, and that would not be hard to, hard to do.
Okay, so you will...
I'll get ahold of Michael on it.
Okay, and go to the next meeting, and then you can report to us at our next meeting.
I think this is the time to do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. If it's still rectifiable, now's the time to fix it.
It's rectifiable if they'll do it.
Okay, so and either you will report or somebody else. I mean, if you know, you can let us know who wants to be on the agenda next time to tell us what has been done to fix that.
We'll do it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next item is NIS update. What's new with NIS?
I don't really have anything new. I don't know if Bill or Wes do, or anyone else.
Not too awful much. I think everything's pretty well implemented. Wes, are we still doing any testing types of things?
Testing's still going on. Things are kind of the same as they always have been.
They're still having problems, yeah.
There's an upgrade this summer.
I hear that all the time from my wife. It's just not working.
But if it's not working accessibility-wise, I don't know that I've been really encouraged other state employees to let us know what the problems are. And Wes is doing the testing and the working with the people that can change it. But if we don't hear what the specifics are, we can't do anything about it.
It's not just with the visually impaired employees. It's with all the employees.
Yeah.
All
this the employees itself is it. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
It certainly is not all things to all folks. And it does have its problems. To be honest, to be blunt, we're not in too awful bad a shape with it. It does seem to be meeting our needs. It's tracking our grants. It's getting our bills paid. For the most part, I think we're getting the information out of it that we need to. Is it real smooth? No, I wouldn't quite go that far, but. So far, I think that we're doing the best we can with the system, knowing that there are a lot of other agencies that have a lot more problems with it than we are.
So, if somebody has problems with it, who would they would you are you the person who gets to hear about it, Bill? Or?
Probably so. Now, from an accessibility standpoint,
that's
yes.
What I meant, yeah.
They certainly could contact me. That would be fine, and I'll make sure that the people who need to know will find out. Yes, I'd be happy to take that responsibility.
Okay, and I assume you've given it to him, Pearl.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Actually, that's not new. He's
He has. You know, I knew that he had been doing that all along. And okay. The next thing is newsline update.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I will make this quick. We currently have in Nebraska 958 subscribers, so we're pushing the 1,000 mark. I'd love to see us get 1,000 or over by the end of the year. A couple of quick notations that I will make. You'll remember, Madam Chairman, in the report that I sent you, we mentioned that at the last meeting we were working on a Spanish engine. That has been accomplished, and we now have a Spanish newspaper up on Newsline, the Miami Cuervo, I believe it's called. If anybody who is interested in checking that out would do so, I have not yet heard any feedback on it in Nebraska. but I encourage people to give it a listen and see what you think. We would like to get more Spanish papers on board soon. We currently have 136 papers, national and local. And the other tidbit I want to relay, and then I have a question for the board. The other tidbit is that we have the AARP Quarterly Magazine up. I know that one of our biggest target audiences is the senior blind, trying to get them to use Newsline, and we are hoping that that will be a draw. So if anybody's interested in reading the AARP magazine, it is up. Just a reminder that it is only a quarterly magazine, so there's not a new issue every week. People have been asking about that. Why isn't it updating? And the reason it's not updating is because it's only quarterly. So you can find that in the magazine section. One question I have for the board, this is kind of a point of confusion last time after the meeting, and that is the posting of the minutes. I have the minutes up, but we're missing right now the other attached items, i.e. the website report. There was a staff survey, I believe, and Val and I had discussed how to proceed, and she was going to send it all to me as one large document to be posted, and I thought it might be more navigable if it were introduced as separate articles. In other words, the minutes as one article, the website report maybe as another, so people could skip back and forth. However, if the commission board would like that to appear as one long document as it is, you know, in the minutes, I'm certainly open for that. I was trying to go for easier navigability, so I'd be curious about any feedback.
I'd say break it up, it'd be easier to navigate.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, as long as people know that that is all one thing, you know, somewhere, that'd be my only concern, you know, because people, if they read that and thought, well, that isn't all there, but if people hear the list of things that are in that section, okay, then it should be clear.
Then Val, I guess, Val, are you still here?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm awake, too.
I'm sorry, I didn't know if you were taking notes.
That's fine.
Well, go ahead and send it to me as one big, long document. That way you don't have to hassle with breaking it up. I'll take care of that part, and I'll get it up ASAP as soon as I can.
Thank you.
So you don't have to hassle with breaking it up. I'll take care of it. Madam Chairman, that is, unless there are questions, that is my report.
Well, excuse me, this is Val. It's broke up to begin with, and
it is?
Then it's all put together.
Okay.
So it's whatever would be easiest for you, because I have them all separate and combine them into one.
If you want to, if you already have them separated, you can go ahead and send them to me in separate files.
You'd prefer that.
That's preferable.
Okay,
yes.
I can do that.
So it'll be easier.
Okay.
May I ask, I know we're on Newsline, but we kind of do what we send to Newsline and the website every time together. Does that make a difference in terms of the website? Is it better to have it all as one, or would it be better to have it separate in there as well?
Right now, Pearl, I have it all as one because that's how it's been in the past.
Right.
I can do it whatever anybody wants.
What about readers of the website? What is your thought?
Well, me being a frequent web traveler,
yes.
I think it would be easier to link those sub-documents at the points where they occur in the minutes. So say like we just had the Friends report, have a link there that jumps to their actual file. Yeah, instead, you know, that way it can be read, the report can be read as its entirety, you know, as a separate document, and then navigate back up to read the rest of the minutes.
So you want each, are you saying you want each attachment that Val sends a separate item, or do you want each agenda item a separate item?
Attachments, because each agenda item.
I was going to say that would take 2 hours.
But we could, if I understand you, Sean, Val could send it to Jim the same way as we just discussed her sending it to Ryan.
Yes.
So any attachments would have their own link.
And then you want to go back and do it with past minutes, or just
no,
go
just forward?
Go forward.
Does that sound good to the board?
Yeah,
definitely.
That's fine. Yeah, that
sounds
fine.
Okay.
And we did have a thing on, you know, later on about what order we want things to be in. You know, I don't know that it. I mean, does anybody have a real preference as far as whether things come in the order that they happen in the agenda or in some specific other order? Do people care about that?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No, I can't think of a reason why.
Okay. Yeah, because as long as it's consistent, I think, then that's the best thing, because otherwise it just can be, you know, okay, well, this way one month and that way another, or well, you know, but.
So what would you recommend be the consistent way? In the order of the agenda?
Yeah, why not?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know.
We're done, right? But I thought that fit there. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay, the next item then is the Wheel Plus and status of rehab. Is there anything, I mean, right?
Yeah, I'll just add, the only other thing that we really didn't talk about is Wheel Plus, that's the proposal to block grant all the employment programs. That seems to be effectively dead. It is, Wheel Plus is not part of the Senate bill, and as you know, the Senate bill is out of committee now, so unless somebody brings it back up on the floor or in the conference committee, which they can slide things in sometimes. So it's still good to communicate to people that that would not be a good thing, but it doesn't, it looks like that's no longer a major threat. And we talked about the rest of it earlier. Well, I guess we didn't talk about RSA, but I don't think that's what you meant here.
Yes, and you know, WIA, for those of you who aren't into alphabet soup, is Workforce Investment Act. Okay, the next item is the status of the taped public meeting educational materials. I have them and haven't read them yet. So that's simple, to the point.
Shame, shame, shame.
That's a public comment, shame.
Okay, LB 55, oh, I guess the only thing, other thing I should say is, Dorothy, I think you're the only other one who hasn't had them. Do you want me to go ahead and send them to you now, or are you still willing to wait for me to look at them first?
Whatever you want. What tapes are...
That was the thing that we ordered a while back, thinking that it might be very relevant to us. From what everybody who has read them so far has said, it's marginally so, but we're getting our money's worth by reading them.
It's interesting.
Because they're interesting, even though they're not altogether relevant.
Public meeting rules, basically.
Yes.
I would like to read them. Whenever, if you haven't looked at them yet,
no,
go ahead and do it, and I'll then send them on to me.
Okay, I'll try to make it a higher priority.
It's only a couple, 2-3 hour commitment, so come on.
And then Dorothy, when you finish, if you either, if it's near the time of the, you bring them to the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
You get them done by them. Sure. Then we'll have them for new members. As the board changes.
Okay, LB 55, the law that modified somewhat the situation with vending sites to make it more of a little Randolph Shepherd Act so that we would have more state site availability did pass. Is there anything else that we need to say about that?
Signed by the governor March 25th.
Yay.
Okay, and then the Offutt site, is there anything?
Yeah, a couple of updates. It's kind of two areas of information. One is the business of even the possibility of our having a vending site at Offutt or not having the contract for the mess hall operation. That in itself is still not certain. There's a move that in Congress to keep Randolph Shepherd out of military mess operations. There's pretty strong pressure from the National Industries for the Severely Handicapped, which currently has the contract for the food operations at Offutt, big pressure there for them to keep it and keep Randolph Shepherd out. We've sent a letter a while back to Offutt to see where they're at with that, if they would like, as it is now, Randolph Shepherd does have priority when a contract comes up, which will be the 1st of October. If they want to, they can go through the whole bidding process, and we, as the Randolph Shepherd State Licensing Agency, would have priority in the bidding process. Or they can decide to just negotiate directly with the state licensing agency for the point when the contract comes up. So we were inquiring which they would like to do, and they haven't been in touch with us at all. We did some work to try to get a phone meeting between myself and the person in charge of that particular thing. And that hasn't been set up yet. So Carlos tried for a while to get, kind of pin it down, and we never got anything back from them. So it's still possible we won't even get the opportunity, but we're still working on that. And then on the other side of it, as we move forward with the partnering contract with an entity that knows how to do these things and that does operate big food operations at other bases, in order for us to put together the specific contract, we had to identify who the vendor will be if and when we actually get it. And so the hiring process was done and decision made, and then there were 6 applicants originally, then 2 prime candidates. This one candidate who was not announced to be the winner of that process or to get that has taken us to evidentiary hearing process. And so that's been quite a bit of work to educate the Attorney General's office on what this is all about and to get them involved. We have identified an evidentiary hearing officer, and a hearing is set for July 12th. So in the meantime, we're gathering, they've sent a number of official documents to us of what we have to provide, and a meeting has been set up the 31st of May for the other attorney to interview Terry Harris, and our attorney, Charlie Lowe, from the AG's office will also be in that meeting. So that's the point we're at with that.
Okay. Well, we certainly hope we get the site.
Yeah.
Do you have a floor?
Okay, now let's see. The next item is the status of Braille on vending machines.
Vendors are labeling, keeping their machines labeled as they can. There is one vendor who has one of the Interstate 80 rest stops, and his labels were torn off. So we've got a Braille label ordered for him to get those redone. As far as globally, you know, has there been a change in what can be labeled? No. But, you know, they're all cognizant of needing to do that when they, as much as they can.
I heard with regard to the state office building, the machines on second and third floors are marked, but the machines downstairs containing the marking, they've disappeared. They've taken those out in favor of, I guess, bottle machines or something of that nature. So the marking on those machines are gone downstairs.
Okay.
So says my spy.
I would just always...
So there was a change in machines and the...
Apparently, I don't know. Huh. She said they've disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been replaced by unmarked machines,
unmarked,
is that what you're
machines.
Saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is Hubert. A lot of machines, you put your money in, you push a button, and your container drops out into a hopper. Mm-hmm. I think the newer machines in the state office building are like the coolers in a store. you pull the door to the side, you reach in onto a shelf, and you pull out the bottle or the can that you're after. I believe that's the change that is taking place there.
And those are very...
See, now they still can't get the machine like that. They're a prison. They can't. They like Coke, and they reach in there, and they pull out whatever they pull out is theirs, which is not satisfactory.
I would really encourage consumers, when they're aware of a problem, talk with that vendor directly.
Yeah.
That would really be...
Well, that's what Mary Sue argues all the time. They come to her. But she's, I'm not a go-between
yeah,
with them.
That's right.
Just because she's blind and they're afraid to tackle her. I know her. They don't know Dave, so they come to her. And she says, she's not going to go down there and hassle him. That's...
Well, I think we should say...
There's a difference, though, between going and saying whatever. But if somebody does not go to the vendor directly, then the vendor can't be held responsible for something that he or she doesn't know is a problem either. I mean, none of us would want that. If there's a problem, for instance, with, you know, something that we're doing as a board, I wouldn't want somebody going to Pearl or to other staff members or to consumer X and talking about that in the first place. That wouldn't do any good, because we still wouldn't know about it, and so we couldn't do anything about it. And in the second place, when you hear something that way, it automatically causes you to have a different kind of mindset about what to do about it, because you're already thinking, well, boy, you know, I've put myself out there, I've let myself be known, people know they can reach me, and it either can hurt a person's feelings or make a person irritated, depending on a person's general kind of way of approaching the world. But in either case, it's just not a reasonable thing. And those of us who are in public positions, like all of us are on this board, one of the things that we can do is to help people to come to terms with that.
Yeah, the other day they had hot dogs and hamburgers out on the mall, something or other. And somebody didn't like the way they were doing it, so they came to Mary Sue and complained to her. She said, well, I don't know what they're doing out there.
Yeah, that's kind of strange, but but certainly, you know.
Well, let's just say and send Dave an inquiry as to what's been brought to our attention, that machines don't have Braille on the first floor,
Terry Harris should be able to tell Pearl, or I would imagine.
I can talk with Terry about it, and we can go from there.
Because we've complained to Dave too much, and it makes it look like we're on his case all the time. I don't think we should be.
I'm sorry, no. I'm guessing it's the nature of the new machines, that they are those kind that are practically impossible.
Well, it may be a matter of just it hasn't, if they're new, I mean, depending on how new they are. But I can tell you, as a consumer, I've gone to that place many times, and those folks in there are responsive, they're friendly, they're right up front, ready to serve and help, and I like going there. It's a friendly place, a lot of people come. Since I work downtown some, it's handy, and I think it's too bad more people don't know it's there.
I have begun, I've had a couple of discussions with other state directors in the NCSAB, the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. There are two committees that maybe could do some national work on this. One is the independent living, or it's Technology and Alternative Techniques Committee, which I thought, sometimes that gets into different kinds of adaptive equipment and such. And so I brought it up to that group, and I plan to bring it up to the Randolph Shepherd Committee, maybe. And actually, also, I'd like to send a note or do something to the two major consumer organizations and vendors to see if, because I think that's where a difference will happen with the manufacturing of machines, is if the vendors that are organized really get on this and work with manufacturers, then maybe there will be some real long-term and the national changes.
Yes, as a consumer myself, I've talked to the leader of the National Federation of the Blind Merchants Division about that very thing. You know, we've had more than one conversation about it because I think also that one way to get at that is to bring the knowledge to the manufacturers of this great big population of people who are merchants who sell things and who have an interest in what kind of machines there are, and say, you know, this will be a good thing for all of us if we have a partnership of some sort. And so, you know, I have done that, and you know, I know that they are talking about it, so that's a good thing too. Okay, we heard our little thing again. We did not get in the habit of ignoring it.
One other thing I'd say on the vendor thing is I need to talk to the one here because he keeps moving stuff around in the machine.
And they claim that that's a good business practice, but you know, to you to say I hate that business practice.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. You know, that good for you. Go do that. I mean, that's what we've been talking about. Go talk to the person. I have heard from both sides of that issue too. There are some people who set up their situation where they have their stuff on their cart in the same order that the stuff is in the machine, and people like the creatures of habit, and I'm one of them. Like the fact that you can go to the same place and get the same thing. And my market is going to do that. You know, the other side of that says, well, if people need to look around for what they're going to get, they might notice something along the way that they didn't plan on getting, but that they've decided they will. I don't know whether one really is a better marketing thing or not, because I'm not a marketer, but I think there are all kinds of people, and I certainly like the one better. Okay, it's now supposed to be 1 o'clock and it's 1:39 or 1:38 or so, but we are ready now for the portion of the agenda that talks about training for commissioners, the SRC forum in Kansas City. I don't know, I guess the quickest thing for me to say about it is that I did think it was a worthwhile thing for us to do. I'm sorry that Dorothy and Bill were not able to attend, and Val originally was going to also, and I'm sorry that people did end up having to miss out on that, because I think there was a lot to be said for the networking times and the brainstorming times especially. And so that I think was worthwhile. I don't know what purpose it would serve for us to go into much detail on what we talked about. We did interact some with staff on one portion of the time we spent, which had to do with creating value. And creating value has to do with, why do you exist? What is your overall goal? And how can you best make that happen? If what you're doing is valuable, and if the reason for doing it is sound, then it's easier to find a way to do it and to convince other people to partner with you in doing it. And so those kinds of things I thought were very much worthwhile and a good use of our time. One of the things that was done there too was to send us a lot of material ahead of time about the Rehabilitation Act and rehabilitation in general, about state rehabilitation councils in particular and how that whole thing happened. And we thought that it would be a good thing for us to share with the two commissioners who weren't able to go, and also with everybody else here, one of the movies, I guess you could call it, that was shared with us while we were there, and that we did have a chance to brainstorm about some. And so I've heard Sean clicking and this computer happening, so I'm assuming that you're the one who's going to start this thing.
Yeah, so
start away.
Nancy, would you hit the right side lights for me? Okay. Hold on, what's my sound?
More injured soldiers who survive and come home with significant disabilities than ever before, but they couldn't go back to their old jobs. The Soldiers Rehabilitation Act of 1918 introduced a new concept in disability support, not just money to live on, but training for the injured veterans as preparation for new jobs matching their new abilities. A farmer who lost a leg fighting in France might be trained in drafting. A factory worker with lungs burned by chlorine gas might become a pharmacist. This idea was popular with the American people and matched programs in several states for training injured workers. In 1920, Congress expanded the veterans program to include anyone with a physical disability, not just veterans. This was the beginning of the Public Vocational Rehabilitation Program, or VR. The new program was great as long as you're